You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News is next. The time is 10 p.m.
CBS News, word from Saigon that the baby lift to the United States is over. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. UPI quotes a senior American refugee worker in Saigon as saying South Vietnam has refused to issue any more exit documents for Vietnamese war orphans, effectively ending their transfer to the United States. On Sunday, about 200 more Vietnamese children arrived in the U.S. In the war, Viet Cong gunners reportedly shelled a suburb of Saigon, striking just 7 miles from the capital. The fighting in Cambodia goes on, with rebel forces on the doorsteps of the capital. Mike Snatowski reports from Phnom Penh.
Khmer insurgents have stepped up their rocket and shelling attacks on Phu Chu Thong Airport, in what most observers are calling the final stage in the battle for Cambodia. Military sources say between 60 and 70 rockets and artillery shells landed in or nearby the airport during the latest round of attacks. In another major setback, rebel rockets seriously damaged 4 transport planes, one-third of the Cambodian Air Force's entire transport fleet. But the American airlift of rice, fuel, and ammunition continued without incident. Mike Smithowski for CBS News, Phnom Penh.
More news in a moment.
I can't find a decent job. Now, I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now, there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. Well, why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. Jobs for people, people for jobs.
For Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
There is speculation the joint Soviet-American space flight scheduled for July could have hit a snag. The Russians on Sunday reported they aborted a manned flight by a Soyuz spacecraft shortly after launch. The spaceship was returned to Earth, according to the Russians, and the two cosmonauts were safe. The Soviets did not offer details on what might have gone wrong. Attorney General Edward Levy is suggesting a new idea for controlling handguns. Levy says steps could be undertaken to limit ownership of guns in large urban areas, where they would be legal only if kept inside a person's home or business. Levy told why he's so concerned about guns in large cities.
In crowded urban areas, the handgun has become a medium of terror. A handgun makes an individual in a city too powerful for his environment. It is a menace because it can be so readily hidden. It is a mechanism that translates passion or a passing evil intent into destruction.
Levy says there are more than 40 million handguns in the U.S. A 7-alarm fire broke out Sunday night at a warehouse in Philadelphia, forcing the Penn Central Railroad to shut down its rail corridor for trains traveling between New York and Washington. There were 3 other major fires in other parts of Philadelphia, apparently unrelated to the other one. A city official said every piece of fire equipment in the city is on the street. In Paris Monday, delegates from the oil-producing and consuming nations will meet to make plans for an energy summit conference this summer. The oil summit is aimed at restoring order to the international economy, of which oil is a major part. This week's meeting was called to set a date and an agenda for the summit. A Nobel Prize-winning scientist says the energy crisis may be only the first in a series of crises over the supply of natural resources. Dr. Glenn Seaborg, former chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission, says the United States may have to resort to a major recycling program in which virtually all materials would be used and reused indefinitely. Communist China Sunday commented on the death of nationalist Chinese Premier Chiang Kai-shek, saying this should broaden the struggle to liberate Taiwan and unify the motherland. The new president of Nationalist China, C.K. Yen, today dedicated himself to the late Chiang's long-stated goal of retaking mainland China. Now this.
The American woman is a business executive, a housewife, an author, a judge, a star athlete. In other words, the American woman is what she wants to be. And on the CBS News broadcast series, The American Woman, we report on and talk to women we're sure you'll find interesting. I'm Sylvia Chase, CBS News, a regular contributor to this series on the achievements and dilemmas of women in today's society. Listen for The American Woman, Monday through Saturday on most of these stations of the CBS radio network.
Don?
Hey, what's all crying about?
I just want the baby to be born all right.
Oh, hey, it'll be all right. You've been taking good care of yourself. I know.
The time to worry about your first pregnancy is long before it happens, when your body is preparing itself for what it will have to go through. Find out what your body needs before you become pregnant. Write for the book, Food is More Than Just Something to Eat. Write Nutrition, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Hey, why are you crying?
Because I'm so happy. That's silly.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
President Ford is winding up his eight-day vacation in Palm Springs, California. Monday, the president flies to Las Vegas to speak to a broadcasters' convention. The president plans to return to Washington Monday night. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, KIXI, AM and FM. The weather outlook calls for increasing cloudiness with chance of showers tonight. Occasional rain tomorrow. Showers with partial clearing tomorrow night and Tuesday. The highs near 50 and lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 49 degrees. It's 44 at the airport. The barometer rising at 29.87. And in sports briefly, in the final day of the NBA regular season, the Seattle Supersonics defeated Phoenix 114-111, Chicago over Milwaukee 112-100, Portland dumped Los Angeles 126-97, Washington 119, New Orleans 103, Kansas City beat Cleveland 95-94, and New York downed Buffalo 105-93. CBS Mystery Theater is next on KIXI at 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The past haunts all of us. We all make mistakes, sometimes accidental, on occasion deliberate. But let's be honest. What haunts us most is that they might catch up with us, leading us where and how far. Let's consider the case of Jim Beecher.
So, just where have you been so late and with which favorite... actress, as they like to call them in the newspapers.
Don't bug me, Louise.
What are you doing? Trying to empty the bottle?
Maybe I have a reason. I might catch up with you.
Why, you're shaking, Jim. What is it, Jim? What's the matter?
I was followed. Somebody followed me all the way home.
I've asked you not to walk the streets alone at night. Who was it? What did he look like?
I don't know who it was. All I could hear was the footsteps. Just the shadow of a beat behind mine. As though whoever it was trying to fit their feet into my footprints. Every time I stopped, they stopped. And when I turned around, there was nobody there. Nobody at all.
Our mystery drama, The Follower, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Jerry Orbach. It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and imported Vigna Rosé wine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free, Inside you're free after all, living free, living free.
The urge hits. You know you have to hit the road. So with Buick Skylark SR firmly in hand, you do just that. Quickly, confidently, you're on your way. Skylark SR's touring car cockpit. Its bold stance and spirited V6 engine make exhilarating excursions a daily occurrence. Find out at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free. Living free.
Ever been riding along in your car and hear a radio announcement asking you to go to your local hospital to make an emergency blood donation?
For donors with B negative blood.
Happens every day.
Call that hospital immediately.
How come blood is in such short supply that emergency pleas have to be made? Because not enough people give blood. It's that simple. We know you're busy these days, but think, you're alive and well too, and you could help others to be that way. Your easy donation of blood to Red Cross or any other volunteer blood bank actually helps a number of people. Because the blood you give is split up into various components, sometimes as many as five. It gives life to a whole lot of people. So don't wait for an emergency announcement before you call your local Red Cross blood bank. If you call now, there doesn't have to be a blood emergency.
Today's weather, sunny and mild, high near...
No terror is so heart-stopping, so breathtaking, as the terror of the unknown. Facing it is bad enough, but to have it remain constantly behind you is the very essence of fright. To have a something fit its steps into your very own is the quintessence of every bad dream you've ever dreamt. Who Jim Beecher is, what he is, matters little for the moment. All of us share his fear. Except, perhaps, his wife, Louise.
What do you mean, nobody there?
Just what I said. For heaven's sake, nobody behind me. Nobody even on the street going my way or the other. Just me, alone. And the sound of those damnable footsteps.
If I were you, I'd lay off the drinking. There's where your footsteps came from.
If I were you, I wouldn't bring up the subject of drinking.
Well, what else do you leave me to do? You're never home. I live here like a hermit.
It's my job. I'm an agent. 24 hours a day, I gotta shepherd a bunch of half-baked egos that are busy making me a millionaire.
We don't need the money, Jim. I have plenty. You should know. It's the reason you married me.
Come on, baby. You know better than that. I could have had my pick. You know that.
Yeah. I know, every piece of cake in the business. But you chose me.
Hey, let's not get into that, Brannigan, again. If you can't get the notion out of your head that I'm constantly cheating on you, what you need is a shrink.
After tonight and the way you're acting, I think the shoe's on the other foot.
What's that mean?
Well, you must have a guilty conscience.
About what?
You pin it down.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I am talking about the wee folk.
What?
The knoblocks, the leprechauns, and the slimy things that go bump in the night.
You're drunk again. Why don't you go to bed?
And I'm not drunk enough to sleep yet. Why don't you?
I don't feel like going to bed.
I can just bet not. It might just sneak in behind you right under the sheets.
What?
You know, the follower. Whoever's dogging your footsteps, your invisible shadow.
Knock it off. What happened to me tonight was no joke.
What happens to me every night is no joke either. So don't ask me to be sorry. I just ask you one thing, Jim.
So ask.
Go see a psychiatrist. He might be able to clear this up for you. He might be able to clear up a lot of things.
That sounds more like a threat than a request.
Maybe. I love you, Jim. But I'm awful close to the end of my rope. You have so many enemies. I'm one of the few who still isn't. But if I walk out on you, it'll be what's ahead of you that'll be your real problem. Not what you think is following you.
Louise?
Yes?
Can I come in?
Of course, it isn't locked. It's our bedroom, after all. And I'm always hopeful, even if it has become more and more hopeless.
Hey, don't let's start that round again. It's just... Well, I'd like to come back to my own bed if I can.
Well, you were the one that left it.
You know how many late nights my work calls for. I didn't want to disturb you when there's plenty of room in the apartment. That's the only reason I moved out.
I'd accept any reason as long as you're moving back in. What's the matter, Jim? That private ghost still dogging you?
No, it's just... Just like...
It's just for once you need someone, and I'm all that's at hand. All right, Jim. It's your own bed, so come on, crawl into it. I'll try to keep your goblins away.
I don't deserve you.
You're damn right you don't. But you got me. What is it, Jim? What are you so scared of?
Nothing.
What's the matter, Jim? Does she have a large husband with a quick temper and a gun collection?
Who?
Whoever that you were showing how to become a star overnight in another bed.
Damn it, Lou, I told you. I was at a skull session for the Tom Bernard Show. It's a mess. It's got to be rebuilt by tomorrow night or we're up the creek with a...
All right, forget it, Jim. Just lie close to Mama. I'll keep the monkey off your back. Whatever it is.
Hey, don't give me any of that jive, Bessie. You're on the stuff again. That's why you didn't show. What do you mean, Deke's in the hospital? So, he's got nurses and doctors to take care of him and you to foot the bills. That's why you don't cancel without talking to me first. Sure, I wouldn't have let you. You think you're big enough to call the shots? Okay, save me the sob story. You want to sing blues, sing them on the job. And you show up tonight at the club or I'll bust you right out of show business.
She loves that husband of hers, Jim. He pretty near croaked last night. You were pretty rough on her.
Ah, the hell with that, Murray. She loused the agency up last night by not showing. I spent enough building up that crazy dame. She should slip me the double O by not showing for a date. Anyway... She's never going to make real big time. And I'm sorry now I signed her long term.
So let her go.
Not till I make my dough back out of her. And a profit. Then I'll drop her so hard she'll bounce higher than the Statue of Liberty.
You know, you're a first-class rat.
It's what makes me a success. And you, Murray, don't ever forget it. So, let's see what else is new in ulcer making.
Don't go looking for trouble. Everything else is smooth as glass.
What about the short fuses?
The Astrodome met all our terms. Tickets are being printed already. The demand is sensational.
Rock stars. Once I dreamed of better things.
It's where the money is. What's better?
I wanted to find and develop a Helen Hayes, a Carol Channing, a Sarah Bernhardt.
Well, that's running the gamut. But why? There's no big money in the theater, you know that.
Big money I took care of right at the beginning. I married it. What I really wanted was fame.
You got it.
Nah, not this kind. I wanted class, Murray. Respect. Maybe even a kind of a place in history. In show business, I mean. Like Saul Hurock, David Belasco.
Forget it, Jim. You're not the type. A thief you are. A thief you'll stay.
Hey, I never stole a cent in my life.
Not so you could get caught at it. But you wheel, you deal, you cut corners, and you don't give a damn for anyone but yourself. You're an operator. Best in the business. Isn't that enough?
I don't let anybody talk to me like that.
You already did.
I ought to can you right now.
The only friend you've got? Who would you have to talk to?
Yeah. You'd probably walk right out of the agency and use all you know to cut my throat.
Who needs to? Most of show business is trying to do that already. But you're too slick for him. Nobody. Nothing can stop Jim Beecher. Ah, come on.
We should have taken a cab. It's starting to snow.
That's nothing. It's just like powder. It's only 6 blocks. A little air is good for you. What's the matter? You got a crick in your neck or something?
Huh?
Well, the way you keep moving your head to the side like that. Like you were looking over your shoulder.
What's the matter? Murray, are you sure there's nobody there?
Well, just the cop standing on the corner on the next block.
There is somebody there.
Nah.
Can't you hear them? No, no. Keep walking and listen. There. There. Don't you hear the footsteps?
Just ours.
No, no. I mean the ones behind mine. Just a split second after every step I take. Behind me. Following.
You're nuts.
Can't you hear them?
There's nothing there. Nobody. Look, look. Come on. I'll prove it to you. Look back. You see, there's enough light snow on the ground so you can see our footsteps. 2 sets. That's all.
Don't you see? That's why he, she, whatever it is so clever. It puts its feet right on top of mine. Every step I take.
Jim, you're talking like a crazy man. Now, come on.
I can't. I'm afraid it'll start following
me
again.
We're only a block from the restaurant. What you need is a drink.
Come on, let's go, Jim.
You feeling better now?
I don't know, Murray.
Do you feel like talking about it some more?
Why not? That's all I think these days.
You had this thing long?
No, it started about a week ago. Right after I busted Jane Gould with that suit for a broken contract.
The same day you sold the movie deal right out from under Lyle Green.
What are you getting at?
Nothing, nothing. Just, I don't know, maybe it's some kind of conscience thing.
Don't give me that. That Gould babe had it coming to her. It wasn't my fault. And after all the times Lyle fell on his face because he couldn't stay away from the bottle, why shouldn't I sell him short for once?
Sure, sure, sure. That's pressure, that's all. Gets to all of us. Maybe you ought to try a shrink.
The day you find me on a psychiatrist's couch. Come on, let's get the check and get me out of here.
You better take a cab home.
Don't worry, door to door. Hey, waiter. Hey, cabbie, what's the trouble?
Lousy, no good mechanics. I told him that battery had a bad cell.
You mean your engine's dead?
The way it looks, Mac.
Well, then get me another cab.
This time of night, this neighborhood? What's to worry, Jack? You're only 3 blocks away from your house. Ain't much of a walk.
No, I don't want to walk. Not alone. You come with me.
Mister, I got enough troubles. I got to get on the phone and get hauled out of here myself.
No. No. Just let me get home. Get home. Stay away from me. Leave me alone. What do you want? What do you want? Leave me alone. All right, if you won't. Who are you? Who are you?
Jim, what is it?
It's following me again.
Jim, there's nobody there. You're home. You're safe. There's nothing there, darling. You're doing this to yourself.
A man haunted by a ghost who sneaks his footprints into those of the man he follows. Not a very nice man, true, but the experience he is going through is thoroughly unnice also. Can he shake this specter from his heels? Or is he doomed forever to be chased by some malignant fury created out of his past? Or by some supernatural whim? We'll return to Jim Beecher shortly with Act Two.
This
Mystery's really thrilling me.
Lost suspense is really killing me. Just sitting here by the radio
with Vigna Rosé Wine.
Uh-huh.
Vigna Rosé Wine.
Say, this Vigna Rosé's delicious.
It goes with so many dishes.
Or all alone by the radio. Vigna Rosé Wine.
Uh-huh.
Vigna Rosé Wine. Come, let me pour you some more vigna.
At the price it's a value, if you know what I mean. Now let's go back to our mystery show.
But I have one question before I go. What's light and refreshing imported to?
Vigna Rosé Wine.
That's the answer, Vigna Rosé Wine.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
What a wine.
Imported by Udline, Hartford, Connecticut.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm Inspector Pry, miss.
Patience, Miss Patience.
According to the report, you say someone is trying to murder you.
Yes, but I was warned. A nice man knocked on the door and told me my brick chimney was about to crash through the roof over my head. Luckily, he's in the business and will repair it tomorrow.
This sounds serious.
I'll help you, Miss Patience.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Be skeptical when a man rings your doorbell and says he just happens to be passing by with his repair equipment and notices that your house needs to be worked on.
My stars! I could have been hoodwinked by a scoundrel.
It pays to be calm and exercise patience. Patience.
Just another friendly tip from your Better Business Bureau.
From the Random House Dictionary, obsession, the domination of one's feelings or thoughts by a persistent idea, desire, or image. Certainly that describes Jim Beecher. But why the sudden obsession? It seems quite apparent that he is a heel. Why should conscience suddenly catch up with him? And which of the trail of human beings he has callously left broken and cast aside in his past should suddenly decide to catch up with him? Could it even perhaps be his own wife?
What? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, stop it.
What was that? Alarm? What time?
Oh, the time doesn't matter. You need rest. Don't wake up, Jim.
I'm awake now. Can't go back. Sleep.
Of course you can. Here, darling. I'll hold you in my arms. Now just relax.
Damn it, Louise. Don't treat me like a baby.
You're the only one I ever had.
Hey, let's not sing that old song again. You and me, we just weren't made for kids.
You. Speak for yourself, Jim.
Okay. So I'm sorry if I cheated you out of something you wanted. But what kind of life could we have made with kids?
What kind of life have we made without them?
You know what I mean. I spend 24 hours a day half the time with all of them. All shapes and sizes. Aging beauty queens, half-baked guitar twangers. And worst of all, the overdeveloped brats you can't control without putting the screws on their parents to hack them into line.
It's not much of a life, Jim. Why do you need it?
What am I, love, except what I make other people? It's what I need to live, to breathe.
And all you ever needed from me was my money.
8 o'clock in the morning. Good time to be honest. All I needed was a start. The rest I could prove, and I have.
Of course you have. You've proved yourself. Money doesn't matter anymore. So why not take a rest? Let's just go away together somewhere.
I can't.
You mean you don't want to? With me?
It isn't that, Lou. All my life, I've had this rocket up my tail. Since it isn't going to be me who shakes the world, I got to find that superstar, the one who tops the field, that nobody can forget. Once I do that, maybe I can turn off the steam, relax,
Oh, Jim, if only you didn't have to prove something.
That's funny. It's funny. I never really knew I felt that way. I honestly still don't. I mean, all the way. It's this other thing that's happened to me that's got me really shook. Put your arms around me, Lou.
Why do you even have to ask? If you'd only give me a chance to love you.
I need someone to love me. Murray made that clear. I don't have many on my side, if any.
On your side for what?
To stand between me and what follows me. Whoever, whatever it is. Here, for this moment, I'm safe. But not for long. The minute I get on my feet, the steps will be back on my trail. What am I going to do?
See, Dr. Braun, please.
That old poop.
You should know how he helped me.
He conned you.
There was a time I was ready to kill myself, Jim, because I knew you neither loved me or needed me anymore. And if it hadn't been for Dr. Braun, you'd be a free man now, a widower, if you like that term better.
You were ready to kill yourself?
Without you, Jim, I'm nothing. I just wouldn't want to be.
Well, how did he stop you?
Well, it's between him and me. Try him.
Maybe. The way it's going, I have nothing to lose. But with dogs my heels, I don't think any shrink is going to cure. And what I used to hear just when I was alone, Dr. Braun, I now hear with other people along.
They do not hear the footsteps.
No.
That's simple. Doesn't it suggest to you that there are no steps at all, except in the mind? Your mind, Mr. Beecher.
They're not imaginary. I hear them.
Of course. They're very real to you. They exist. But they are not so important.
What do you mean?
What is important is, why does someone want to follow you? Not just follow, but exactly in your footsteps.
That's what you're supposed to find out for me.
Oh, no, Mr. Beecher. That's what you have to find out for yourself. You're the only one who knows who or what it is.
I already told you I don't.
That's because it's buried too deep in your subconscious. Or because it's something you're hiding from yourself.
Now, what would I... How could I hide it from myself?
Well, very easily, Mr. Beecher. We all hide things from ourselves. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes without being aware that we're doing it.
Why?
Fear, shame, those are the simplest and most common reasons. Who are you afraid of?
Nobody.
I doubt that. We're all afraid of someone in our lives, or have been at one time. Your father.
That fool. He was a nothing, a nebbish. I never knew him that well anyways. He died when I was around 12.
Your mother?
No, certainly not my mother. She wasn't much either. She cleaned office buildings for a living. And she would have been a lush if she could have afforded it.
Brothers, sisters, any other relations?
Nah, nobody. It was just us.
What about your wife?
You should know about her better than me. Or maybe she thinks I'm afraid of her, huh?
What Mrs. Beecher thinks, or has told me she thinks, is her business and her business alone. I'm asking you, are you afraid of her?
Louise? Why should I be?
She's a very rich woman.
So?
It's possible you might fear losing her.
Listen, I don't need Louise anymore. I make plenty of money for myself.
But you might have feared her once.
Why?
Because you did marry her for her money, didn't you? Or maybe it wasn't fear. Perhaps it was shame.
Ah, this is all a waste of time. I don't know why I let Lou talk me into coming here.
Of course you do. Because you need help.
But not from you.
Your hour isn't up. Don't you want to use it?
What's the point? What can you do for me? What can anyone do?
I'll have to be frank and say I don't know. But I can say the things I do know. I checked with your medical doctor and your health is fine. No vascular problems. Blood pressure normal for a man of your age. You don't suffer from hypertension. Which in your business is a minor miracle. Your hearing is perfect. There is no possibility that these footsteps you hear are some physical echo. They are totally, I have to conclude, from one of two fields.
What two fields?
One, they are supernatural.
Ah, come on. Let's cut out that nonsense. What's number two, like I even have to ask?
Then don't.
Psychiatric. I'm going nuts, right?
Yes, no, yes.
You want to translate that?
Yes, you are right. No, you are not going nuts, or don't have to. And yes, of course your problem is psychiatric.
How do we cure it?
We meet, we dig, and somehow, somewhere, we find out who is your mysterious follower.
Then what?
We hope that he, she, it will leave you alone.
Can you guarantee it?
No. I think you're ashamed of something, and you won't admit it, even to yourself.
Baloney, Doctor. You're talking to the toughest agent in show business. It builds a thick skin. The things I've done don't bother me any. That's the game, and I play it all the way. I will take one piece of advice from you out of this expensive hour, though. I'll cure myself. To hell with whatever it is I think I'm hearing. I'll just shut my ears to it, and it'll go away. Here, don't bother to send me a bill. Cash on the barrelhead. I'm paying you and going back to where I should have stood, on my own. I'll fight my own battle.
Murray, I'm sorry to drag you over here, but I was afraid to come to the office in case Jim might see me.
That's all right, Louise. If I don't have time for old friends...
You are a friend, Murray. Still.
Still. I wouldn't think you'd have to ask.
Oh, I didn't mean me. I meant Jim.
Well, I'm a creature of habit, Louise, a kind of human leopard. I don't change.
You're a kind man. You're the best man I know.
Well, I was 20 years ago.
You should have been standing next to me if I'd had any sense. But I lost my head over Jim.
I know the feeling.
He was so handsome, so charming then. I'm sorry, Murray, I walked out on you.
So am I.
And you never married.
I lost more than my head to you, Louise. There's never been anyone else for me.
With Jim, almost since the beginning. It's always been everyone else but me.
But you still love him.
I love what he was, what he should have been, might have been. What I keep on hoping he still could be.
Old habits die hard. I guess that's why I've stuck with him, too. And lately, I've had a crazy notion that he was... No, I don't know the word. Maybe softening up a bit.
You noticed that, too. Then I wasn't wrong. Oh, damn, Murray. Why did this other awful thing turn up? I mean, what do you suppose it is?
Search me.
He's done something that went against his conscience, but what? I know how hard and even vicious Jim can be. I'm not making excuses for him, but I... Well, no matter how I feel about him now, I just can't sit by and watch a man go mad.
I know, Louise. I want to help him, too. I always want to help a friend. In this case, you a lot more than Jim.
I was the fool. I shouldn't still be making you pay for it. But I can't turn my back on someone I've lived with 20 years. Only, see, he won't let me help. Will you try?
If you asked me for the moon in a teacup, if I can reach Jim, I'll try. I'll try to find out what's got him by the throat.
I don't hear them. I don't hear anything. I'm walking instead of riding to prove it. These footsteps don't mean anything. They're just in my mind. A kind of echo. Don't turn around. Don't turn around. There's nothing there. You've looked before and there's nothing. Nothing. Except I've got to. Just one look. Just one.
Oh, Lord.
No.
There is something there. It's... Oh, God, forgive me. No. No. No.
So
the follower has become more than just the sound and feel of footsteps right on Jim Beecher's heels. It has become something to be seen. At least a shadow. But a shadow of what? Who? And if he is driven far enough, will he destroy it? Can he destroy it? I'll return shortly with Act 3.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted bran rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal, and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
This is Arnold Palmer. In golf, we call someone who plays exceptionally well a champ. And a champ works to win. His whole way of life is geared to that talent, that ability in him which makes him win. Well, that's one way of living, but there are others. And the March of Dimes offers us some of those ways. Ways to work to prevent birth defects, or ways to help kids born with birth defects. For many of those kids, a way of life is a difficult direction to discover. But for most of us, it's not. By us, I mean young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, everyone. As honorary national chairman for the March of Dimes, I can tell you that the greatest gift you can give any handicapped child is a little understanding, a little encouragement, and a chance to appreciate life. Won't you help? Join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
On a shadowed and deserted street, Jim Beecher has been unable to shut out the sound of whoever or whatever stalks him. And turning, has, for the first time, seen his pursuer. Seen? At least been conscious enough of a presence there to break in wild panic and run toward a well-lighted boulevard.
Hey, look out, you crazy! Hold it!
No.
All right, everybody, stand back. Make room. Give the guy a chance to breathe. Hey, you, get over to that booth there and get an ambulance. Dial 911.
What's going on? Where am I?
You're in a hospital, mister. You ran in front of a car.
Am I hurt badly?
I don't think so. You want me to call anyone?
Yeah. Call Mr. Murray Schneider. His number is, let me think. His number is...
Are you sure you're okay, Jim?
Yeah.
A couple of bruises and some minor scratches.
Hey, just get me out of here before they dump me in the loony ward.
Okay, don't worry. I'll take you right home.
No. Murray, just get me to your place.
Huh?
Yeah, I've got to talk to you. I know now who's been following me and why. And I need your help more than I ever needed it in my life.
And there's nothing to worry about, Louise. I have him with me, just a few scratches and bruises.
Why didn't you bring him home?
He said he wanted to talk to me first.
And he didn't even want to call me.
But he says he knows who's been following him, or who he thinks is. He wanted my help.
But not mine.
Louise, what can I say?
Nothing, Murray. I just hope he's come to his senses. It'll make two of us.
What does that mean?
I want Jim to get well, to find himself again, to have no problems, because...
Yes, what?
Because... Because I finally made up my mind. Jim and me. It's all finished. I just can't take him anymore.
I didn't mean to keep you waiting so long, Jim. I told her you were okay and that you were with me.
Fine. I didn't want her to worry because I was late.
That's a new wrinkle. Never worried you before.
You don't have to rub it in. A first-class heel. 30 years experience. And I don't think I could change now if I wanted to. I've cheated, skimmed, taken money under the table, made actors or broke them without any feeling. Except for the rustle of the good long green under my fingers and stashed away in Swiss and Caribbean banks. Maybe it's all catching up with me. And maybe I deserve it. That doctor, he stirred up the old memories. I know who's following me, haunting me, blaming me, and wishing me as dead as she is. And at last, I'm facing the fact she has a right to.
Jim, look, maybe a drink.
No. Let me get this off my chest once and for all. It was before I met you, Murray, nearly 30 years ago, and I was some different kind of guy. Like, I was working for Harmon and Sells, the big agency that went broke.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah. I was mainly a gopher, but I did some minor casting for the summer circuits. And one day, this little girl named Christy Meadows walked in, and I broke my tail to get her a booking with a stock company as resident ingenue. She was good. I mean, really good. And she was loaded.
With talent?
No, I mean with dough. Her father was president of an oil company, and money was beans to him. Christy never knew it, but he laid one solid grand on me under the table in 50s to make sure his little old gal got her chance. I had a laugh because she didn't need his help. Didn't even know he was offering it. But I decided right then and there I could use his help. More than that, his daughter. I used to go down weekends to the theater where she was playing, and not only for her money and the future I thought it could buy me. There was a lot more to it than that. A lot more that it didn't take me long to tell her.
I declare, from all the stories I ever heard about New York, I didn't expect ever to find an agent that would give me such personal service.
Ah, you can knock it off, Christy. You know I'm not down here as an agent.
I certainly hope not.
I love you, Christy.
I thought you'd never say it.
Oh, darling. Darling, what a life we're gonna have.
Oh, such a long, lovely future.
Yeah, if your dad sees it that way. I'm not much of a catch. I don't make much money.
Oh, who cares about money? We'll make it.
Well, her father didn't take to the idea of me as a son-in-law. Christy had a little apartment in New York, and even though I had my own place, we were living together. I don't know how he found out, but one night, poor Christy had to lay the ultimatum on me.
Oh, he's just as stubborn as an old mule, and he means it.
You mean if we wanted to get married, he'd cut you out of his will?
He already has.
But we're not married yet.
No, Jim. But we sure better had going to be.
Why?
Well, because I just haven't been as careful as maybe I should have been.
What?
I went to the doctor, Jim. There's just no kind of question. I'm going to have your baby.
Look, it isn't too late. We could do something to stop it.
That's just what my daddy wanted to do. I didn't think to hear it from you.
But I haven't any money, Christy. I couldn't even support you, let alone a kid.
But we could make out somehow, if you really love me, do you?
Well, of course I do, hon. Christy, we've got to use our heads. We can't cut it together with the money I make, even with you working too, and you won't be able to do that for long. I can't start out that way.
What do you mean, start out that way?
I got plans, baby. A million plans, but I need some backing to get them going.
Jim, are you trying to tell me that you're not planning on marrying me?
Don't you see it? It's different now. I mean, somehow I'll manage so we can get rid of the kid, but...
But because I'm not a Texas oil heiress, you're going to walk out on me.
You've told me your father would never go for me as your husband.
But I do. I love you, Jim. Don't you love me?
Sure I do, Christy, but we gotta be practical.
Practical? Jim Beecher, you're my whole life. And if I can't have you, I don't even want to live.
Oh, don't be a silly child.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something.
If you walk out on me, I'm gonna kill myself. I swear it. I promise you.
Come on, Christy. Let's cut out the corny dramatics. Nobody kills themselves for love. Not at our age, and particularly a girl whose father owns half of Texas.
I don't even want a corner of Texas. I want you. I am not going to live without you.
Come on. Let's cut out the melodrama.
It isn't melodrama. It's just God's honest truth.
Damn, this isn't a scene in a play. Will you forget you're an actress and stop the dramatics? Okay. I'll bring you to your senses. Here.
What's that?
Sleeping pills. Enough to make you shuffle off the mortal coil. Just as effective as Juliet's fatal draft.
What are you doing with those? Where'd you get...
Yeah, the big boss has them in carloads. All the kooks we handle need uppers, downers, you name it. And we hand these out carefully. But just so you wake up and grow up, I'm leaving you enough to make the final exit.
No, Jim, don't walk out on me.
Look, I'm a working stiff. I'm this evening's gopher for one of our lousier comics who's making his big comeback, ha-ha, at some forgotten joint on the island. I'll be lucky if I get there in time to go for his first double martini of the evening.
You can't leave me like this, Jim. We got to talk.
No more talking. We're through, Christy. Best way is to break clean. You'll thank me for it someday. So long.
But, what about these?
The pills? Just to open your eyes to life the way it's lived. Don't worry, you'll end up flushing them down the toilet. Or one by one, they'll give you a month of nice, soothing sleep. I'll set you up with a doctor for the abortion and let you know where or when. Of course, I'm cutting it short. It didn't happen that fast or that simply. But I did leave the pills. What did I want, Murray? Was I really trying to help her grow up, or was I really praying for her to take them and solve the whole mess for me simply? No way they could be traced. Everything tied up in a neat bundle and thrown out with the garbage.
You want me to answer that question?
Oh, it doesn't really matter anymore.
She took the pills.
Sure.
So you as good as murdered that girl?
Yeah.
No wonder she's come back to haunt you.
Well, she won't anymore. She's proved her point. She doesn't need to.
Why?
Because I finally know what a heel I am. And I'm through. Murray, I'm giving up the agency. I'm going to try to go back to what I was. Try to make it up to Louise. You're looking at a 10% louse who's looking for 100% religion.
I'm sorry, Jim. It's just too late for us. I don't know what your great awakening is exactly. I don't even want to. But I know what mine is. I married the wrong man. As soon as I get a divorce, I'm going to marry the right one.
Please, Lou, give me one more chance. Help me, Louise. I want to be what I was.
Oh, it's too late. I've had all I can take. I just can't find my way back any more than you can. Jim, where are you going?
Out. Just to walk. To be alone.
This time of night? What about your... the follower?
I know now who that was. She won't follow me anymore. Finding out shamed me enough to make me want to find out not what I am, but who I was. How did I throw it all away? Why? For what? At least I know enough now, Christy, to say I'm sorry. To tell you how wrong I was. To thank you for not haunting me anymore with my footsteps. Back. Why? Christy, what do you want now? Why are you still stalking me?
Not Christy, Jim. She loved you too much to hurt or hate you.
Then who?
Stop. And turn around.
But there's never anything to... Oh, dear God. It's you. Me. Just as I was 25 years ago. Why do you follow me?
I didn't. Till you asked me to.
Yeah. Yeah, now I see it. I needed forgiveness. To wash out what I've been to. To go back. Back to what I was when I was you.
Is that what you want?
Yes. Help me. Help me.
You need no help. The choice is yours. If you want to be me again, you can make it this moment.
I do. I do.
Then your wish is granted. Back to the moment when you turned your back on Christy.
All right. That isn't fair. I'm dying. Dying.
Of course. You killed yourself when you killed her. Christy. The real Jim Beecher has been dead ever since.
It must have been a heart attack, Lou. I don't think he ever knew what hit him.
I should feel more. But I wasted all my love for him. I only hope I have some left for you, Murray.
I have enough for both of us. And Jim's at peace. There's no one to follow him anymore.
A fascinating story of a complete and absolute heel whose conscience caught up with him. Conscience, or was it retribution? You can decide that for yourselves, just as you can decide whether or not the follower ever existed in anything but the echoing labyrinths of the mind. I'll be back shortly.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
For this night, at least, we can all go to bed less afraid of the shadows that peer across our shoulders, the nameless, shivery things that sometimes haunt our dreams, and at least not fear that stomach-chilling terror of a step that sounds like a follower. We can all be like Satchel Paige and say, "Don't ever look behind. Something could be following you, and it might catch up." Our cast included Jerry Orbach, Carol Tytel, Nat Polan, and Jackson Beck. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
If he wasn't strangled, what was the cause of death?
He also has a bruise on his head.
Aha. Was he struck?
He may have been. On the other hand, he may have hit his head against some sharp object when he fell to the floor.
Dr. Benson, do you ever commit yourself? For example, if your wife asks you if you love her, what answer do you give her?
I, sir, am a bachelor.
Well, now, he may or may not have been strangled. He may or may not have been bludgeoned. What other foundation of shifting sand can you give me to rest a hypothesis on?
On the other hand, he may have died of fright.
Fright?
I have never seen such terror on the face of a corpse.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Hey, CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for increasing cloudiness with possibility of showers tonight. Occasional rain tomorrow, showers and partial clearing tomorrow night and Tuesday. The highs near 50 and lows in the mid-30s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 46 degrees. CBS News is next on KIXI Seattle.
CBS News, word from Saigon that the South Vietnamese government has halted the airlift of war orphans to the United States. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. In Saigon, Don Scott, director of World Vision, said the South Vietnamese government canceled the baby lift, refusing to grant any more exit visas. That word came after several hundred more babies arrived in the U.S. Sunday. Earlier, a Virginia state lawmaker who has been involved in the airlift said he learned the South Vietnamese government decided to stop the airlift to avoid giving the impression the country was going under and to avoid panic in Saigon. Communist forces have staged an attack on South Vietnam's main fuel depot, firing about 60 shells and mortars at the Nam Bi depot just 7 miles southeast of Saigon. It was the closest attack to the capital so far in the current offensive. 6 people were reportedly injured. Defense Secretary Schlesinger said Sunday that South Vietnam will collapse without more American aid, but he said President Ford has ruled out direct American military action, such as a resumption of the use of B-52 bombers. Schlesinger appeared on the CBS News broadcast, Face the Nation. Senator Hubert Humphrey announced Sunday he'll sponsor legislation to aid the Vietnamese war victims. Humphrey outlined his proposal.
I will introduce a bill which will provide at least $200 million in emergency assistance for refugee relief. The provisions of this bill call for the distribution of relief supplies by the United Nations, its specialized agencies, the Red Cross, and the other private charitable groups that are working in the Indochina area. I say that the time has now passed for the American government to be the primary organization which supervises and distributes this relief.
Humphrey says he believes the United States should provide the money to aid all refugees from the wars in Vietnam and Cambodia. More news in a moment.
What are you building with your blocks?
I want to make a world bigger than me.
Oh, well, it looks pretty good.
Yep, except it needs more blocks.
Well, what are you putting into your world?
Trees and doors and garages.
Is there anything that you're not going to put into your world?
Hats.
No hats?
Because I'm not going to put any rain in this world.
Oh.
So nobody needs hats.
Hey, it's getting pretty big.
It's already as tall as me.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Okay.
Your world fell apart?
Yep, except I'm going to build it again.
And what kind of world are you going to build next?
A world that don't ever fall down.
You can build a better world, too. Just begin.
Can you give me that block, please?
From the Franciscans, with love.
The fighting continues Sunday in Cambodia, with rebel forces making another intense artillery attack on Phnom Penh's airport. 4 government planes were said to have been badly damaged. More Americans are leaving Phnom Penh. Ed Bradley has a report.
The embassy won't say how many of its people have been evacuated, but reliable sources indicate fewer than 75 Americans, including Marine guards, are still here. Even some of the Cambodians who work for the embassy have been evacuated to Bangkok. U.S. Ambassador John Gunther Dean is said to have painted a grim picture of the military and political situation, and as a result, most of those who worked here and had a choice packed their bag. The United States is trying to keep a calm front in Phnom Penh to prevent the kind of panic that swept through South Vietnam. The best they can expect from this situation is a negotiated surrender and an orderly transition of power. Ed Bradley, CBS News, Phnom Penh.
The Soviet Union Sunday night announced that a 2-man space mission ended in failure shortly after a Soyuz spaceship was launched. TASS, the Soviet news agency, said the ship was returned to Earth and the 2 cosmonauts were picked up in Siberia. There's speculation the mission had something to do with the joint Soviet-American space flight this summer and might have some effect on that mission.
Attorney General Edward Levy has come up with an idea for controlling the handgun problem in the U.S. Levy suggests laws to ban private ownership of guns in large cities, except guns kept inside homes or businesses. Now this.
Hi, I'm Mike Roy here with Denny Bracken for the Cookin' Thing.
And we're heard every Monday through Saturday on the CBS Radio Network. Now, let's see, tomorrow's Tuesday, so what treats do you have in the pantry for a chef?
Carrot cookies.
Carrot, what is this, a Bugs Bunny act or something? I
don't
make carrots out of cookies or cookies out of carrots or vegetables.
It's all done all the time. And my carrot cookies are some of the best there are. Ask any rabbit. Easy to make, too.
Not at all modest, are you?
No.
That's the super chef there with his carrot cookies tomorrow on the Cook Thing on CBS.
Sometimes it's really hard to think of new ways to cut corners and save money. You probably feel you've tried just about everything and wonder where else to turn for ideas. A good source is the Consumer Information Index, which lists federal government publications that tell you how to buy better. Whether you're shopping for food, prescription drugs, cars, household equipment, or service. For a free copy of the index, write to Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, zip code 81009.
Avalanches are being blamed for the deaths of at least 28 people this weekend in Switzerland, Austria, and Italy. Wet spring snow sent the avalanches, along with mudslides, thundering down the Alps. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time is 6 minutes past 11.